You know that feeling when you open your laptop on a Monday morning and instead of feeling ready to tackle the week, your chest just immediately tightens.
Oh, yeah, the Monday morning dread.
Right, because your inbox is overflowing, there's some corporate messaging app just constantly bouncing in your dock, and oh, you've probably got sticky notes physically stuck to the bezel of your monitor.
And like three different browser tabs open with tasks you vaguely remember promising to finish by noon.
Exactly. The cortisol spike is very real.
It's honestly the defining feature of modern knowledge work. You know, before you even type a single word of actual output, you're forced to spend that first hour of your day burning cognitive energy just trying to build a mental map of what you're actually supposed to be doing.
Yeah, and organizations see this friction and they usually just panic. I mean, they try to fix the chaos by throwing these incredibly expensive proprietary tools at the problem.
And massive enterprise subscriptions.
Right. From vendors like Microsoft or Google promising they'll, manage workflows and track time and somehow magically organize your entire team. But what if the ultimate solution to that Monday morning avalanche didn't actually live in the cloud?
Or require a massive monthly subscription fee.
Exactly. What if it actually gave you total control over your own work? So before we get into the meat of our deep dive today, I do want to thank the supporter making this exploration possible, which is SafeServer.
Yeah, because we're looking at an open source alternative today that can replace those pricey enterprise services at zero software cost.
Right. And shifting away from those proprietary giants, it represents a massive paradigm shift in how we handle our digital lives.
Totally. I mean, when you consider the tasks we manage every day, things involving email retention, highly sensitive data protection, financial records, or, audit trails, like your daily timesheet's data sovereignty just becomes non-negotiable.
Yeah, you really need to know the physical location of that data to stay compliant with modern regulations. And SafeServer is the partner that bridges that gap. They help organizations find and actually implement the right open source solutions. They don't just like point you to a download link and wish you luck.
Right, they handle the heavy lifting.
Yeah, everything from the initial consulting to figure out your specific needs, all the way to operating the software on highly secure servers located right within the EU. So you can explore how they can protect your organization's budget and data at safeserver.de.
Having a reliable partner for that infrastructure is just crucial, especially when we start looking at the sheer volume of personal and professional information we pour into our task managers.
Definitely. Which brings us to our mission for this deep dive. Today, we are looking at the source documentation, website excerpts, and user reviews for an open source tool called Super Productivity.
It's a great name.
It is. Now, fair warning, this software is incredibly feature-rich. Like, you can easily get lost in the technical weeds here.
Oh, absolutely.
So, our goal today is to provide you, the listener, with a really beginner-friendly entry point. We're going to unpack the mechanics of how this tool works, explore why everyone from, hardcore software developers to folks navigating ADHD just swear by it.
Yeah, and figure out how it can transform your workflow. Because the overarching theme in all these sources is how the software actively reduces the distance between having an idea and actually executing it.
Right.
It bridges the gap between simple task capture and deep, focused work without forcing you into some rigid corporate framework.
And we should definitely start with that capturing phase because, well, that's the immediate bottleneck.
Oh, for sure.
If a beginner feels overwhelmed just trying to get a task into the system, they are going to abandon the software on day one. I mean, if it takes five clicks, two drop-down menus, and a loading screen just to write down, call the accountant.
The system has already failed. Friction at the entry point defeats the entire purpose of having an external brain.
Exactly. So the documentation for Super Productivity highlights that it functions as a highly customizable, local-first task manager.
Right. And beginners can use this really simple quick add feature to instantly dump ideas out of their working memory and into the system. You could always organize them later with like subtasks or tags or projects.
Yeah, it's like a digital Swiss Army knife. It looks like a sleek pocket knife until you decide you actually need the corkscrew.
Yeah.
And the customization is where it starts to get really interesting.
Yeah, how so?
Well, the sources note you can effortlessly switch how you view those captured tasks. You aren't locked into one paradigm. So if you're a highly visual person who likes seeing progress, you can just use a Kanban board.
Oh, right, where you drag the cards.
Yeah, from a to-do column into in progress and finally over to done.
Which is a massive cognitive advantage, actually. I mean, sometimes a simple linear list is fine. But consider a day where literally everything feels urgent.
Oh, we all have those days.
Right. the app allows you to instantly switch your view to an Eisenhower matrix. And this layout forces you to map your tasks across four quadrants, separating what is genuinely urgent from what is merely important.
Oh, that's smart. It forces a prioritization logic onto the chaos.
Exactly. The software adapts to your specific mental model in that exact moment, rather than forcing you to conform to its underlying database structure.
And to make that capture process even faster, they built in this short syntax keyboard setup, which is, well, it functions almost like a stenographer's machine for your tasks.
Okay, I love that analogy.
Right. Imagine you realize you need to draft a proposal. You don't reach for your mouse. You just hit Shift plus A to open the Add Task bar.
Okay.
You type the task description, and then right next to it in the exact same line, you just type 10 meters for 10 minutes, hashtag important for the tag, and at symbol fry 10pener for the deadline.
And the apps engine parses that single line of text in real time. Right. It extracts the time estimate, creates or assigns the tag, and locks in the due date automatically.
Yeah. You never even took your hands off the keyboard. For a beginner, that is a revelation. Because every time you have to take your hand off the keyboard, grab a mouse, hunt for a tiny calendar icon, click it, scroll to Friday, and click again.
You're leaking focus.
Exactly. By utilizing this keyboard-first design, the barrier between your brain having an idea and the system cataloging it drops to near zero. And when the work is finally finished, you just select the task and press the D key to mark it done.
Removing that mechanical friction is essential. But capturing tasks and making lists is really only half the battle.
Sad but true.
Right. Because a beautifully organized Kanban board is still fundamentally just a catalog of things you're currently failing to do.
Ouch. That is a brutally honest way to look at a static to-do list. But you're right. It lacks an engine for execution. You've successfully hoarded your tasks, but you still have to actually do the work.
Exactly.
And this is where most beginner productivity tools completely drop the ball. They just leave you staring at the list, hoping you somehow find the willpower to start.
But Super Productivity attempts to build that execution engine directly into the interface. The sources actually detail a built-in time boxing system that's paired with a Pomodoro timer.
Okay, so helping you drop into a distraction-free focus mode.
Right, and the Pomodoro technique is fairly standard, you know, work for 25 minutes, take a 5-minute break. But the documentation mentions a specific nuance here, which is a break reminder that respects your flow state.
Wait, how does an app actually know if you're in the zone versus just staring blankly at the screen?
So it relies on your interaction with the system and some customizable thresholds. Instead of utilizing a jarring, hard alarm that locks your screen right as you're about to solve a complex problem.
Oh, I hate those.
Right. The software issues a gentle notification instead. If you're actively working, you can easily dismiss it or just tell the app to let you finish your thought. It nudges you to step away before cognitive fatigue sets in, but it doesn't violently rip you out of deep concentration.
I mean, I can see the value in a gentle nudge for sure.
Yeah.
But I have to play devil's advocate on another feature I saw in the sources.
Go for it.
So the documentation highlights an anti-procrastination helper built on cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, techniques.
Yeah, that's a big one.
It's designed to help you overcome the hurdle of starting a difficult task. But I'm highly skeptical of this. Like, does an app acting like my therapist popping up to ask me why I'm procrastinating actually help?
You think you'd be annoying?
Yeah. My immediate reaction would be to get annoyed and just close the window entirely.
Which is totally fair. And a lot of users share that initial skepticism. A nagging pop-up sounds like the absolute worst features of 90s software design.
Exactly.
However, the psychology underpinning this, as discussed in the source materials, is fascinating. Because procrastination is rarely a time management issue. It is almost always a failure of emotional regulation.
Interesting.
Yeah, we avoid tasks because they trigger anxiety or boredom or a sense of being completely overwhelmed.
Right, so we're basically choosing the short-term relief of avoiding the task over the long-term benefit of just getting it done.
Precisely. So the app's CBT feature acts as a cognitive speed bump. When you're staring at a massive, intimidating task and avoiding clicking start, the app prompts you to pause and reframe the situation.
So what does it ask you to do?
It might ask you to define the absolute smallest next physical step required to begin. It interrupts your brain's automatic cycle of avoidance and forces manual logical reasoning.
Oh, I see. So it breaks the task down from, like, write the entire quarterly report to just open Microsoft Word and write the title.
Exactly. It lowers the psychological barrier to entry. And this mechanism, when combined with time boxing and community share prioritization schemes like Eat the Frog.
Which is where you deliberately schedule your most anxiety-inducing task for the very beginning of the day.
Right, exactly. When you combine all that, it actively manages your cognitive load.
Which really explains why the documentation and user reviews heavily emphasize use cases for ADHD minds.
Definitely. Neurodivergent users often struggle with time blindness and executive dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
So a massive, unstructured list of text isn't just unhelpful, it can actually be physically paralyzing.
Wow. And the sources specifically mention how the visual organization and time boxing work with neurodivergent brains rather than fighting them.
Right.
The focus mode, the visual progress bars of a Pomodoro timer, those CBT prompts, they all serve as external scaffolding for the brain's executive functions.
Yeah.
You're essentially building an environment that pulls you forward.
But eventually, you do have to emerge from that carefully curated bubble of deep work.
Unfortunately.
Right. I mean, knowledge workers don't operate in a vacuum. We have managers, we have clients, and we have external platforms demanding our attention constantly.
Which introduces a massive new problem. You have this beautiful, pristine local task manager, but your boss just assigned you 3 bugs in Jira, a client left a comment in Trello, and there's a pull request waiting for you in GitHub.
It's chaos.
Yeah. If you have to constantly leave your focus environment to check those platforms, your productivity just shatters all over again.
And this is the transition from personal psychology to organizational efficiency.
Mm.
The core enemy here is context switching.
Okay, so how does super productivity handle that? Because the sources show it scales up from a personal tool to a professional powerhouse through these native integrations.
Yeah, yeah.
It connects directly to heavy-duty corporate platforms like Jira, GitHub, GitLab, Linear, Trello, and even Coldav calendars. So if someone assigns you a ticket in Jira, it automatically imports into your local super productivity board as a task.
And the implications for focus there are profound. Because research consistently shows that every time you switch tabs to check an external platform, you lose your train of thought.
Oh, completely.
It can take upwards of 20 minutes to fully regain deep concentration after a single distraction.
20 minutes, that's huge. And reviews from tech publications like Lifehacker and XDA developers consistently single out this specific feature. Like, XDA developers noted that with just a few clicks or keyboard shortcuts, you can expand a task to include all the necessary details from the original platform.
Right.
You never actually have to log into Jira, wait for the heavy interface to load, hunt down your specific ticket, and update your status. You do it entirely from your unified Zen workspace. It's like having a universal remote control for all your annoying corporate issue trackers.
Exactly. You consolidate the chaos. You're no longer managing 5 different tools. You're just doing the work in one centralized dashboard.
And while you are doing that work, the app is keeping track of the math. The sources mention a one-click time tracking feature. You just hit the Y key on your keyboard when you start a task, and it logs the exact duration.
Oh, that's seamless.
Yeah. And it takes all that data and generates instant timesheets and work summaries.
Which freelancers in the source reviews praise heavily, largely because of a concept called scope creep.
Oh, scope creep. Yeah, there's an entire blog post in our sources titled, How Time Data Catches Scope Creep Before It Kills Margins.
It's a real issue.
It points out that scope creep rarely announces itself as a massive new project phase. It disguises itself as a client asking a quick question or requesting a small tweak to a design.
And those quick 5-minute tweaks often turn into 45 minutes of unbilled labor.
Every single time.
Over a month, that quietly erodes a freelancer's profit margins. So having an automatic time tracker attached to every single Jira ticket or client task, well, it provides an objective, unarguable audit trail of where your day actually went.
The consolidation of all this data is incredibly powerful, but it leads us directly to a glaring security question.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you are pulling in highly sensitive corporate Jira tickets that detail unreleased software bugs. You have client timesheets. You are logging your own personal procrastination habits.
That's a lot of data.
That much consolidated information creates a massive digital honeypot. If this were a standard cloud app, your clients and your IT department would be completely terrified. So where exactly is all this data living?
And this brings us to the architectural philosophy of the software, which is arguably its biggest selling point.
The sources are very emphatic about this. Super productivity is 100% offline and local first by default.
Yes.
There are no mandatory user accounts to create. There's no telemetry quietly monitoring how you use the app. There is zero tracking. Your data never leaves your physical device unless you specifically command it to.
And that term local first is gaining immense traction lately. It's a direct rebellion against our over-reliance on the cloud.
Mm.
It means the software's primary database lives on your machine's hard drive.
Right.
It utilizes your computer's own processing power. It functions perfectly without an internet connection, and it never phones home to a centralized server farm to report on your activity.
That level of privacy is fantastic. But it creates a practical problem for a modern worker, doesn't it? Like, I use a desktop computer in my office, but I travel with a laptop. If the data only lives on one hard drive, how do I keep my task list synchronized between the two?
Right, the synchronization issue. The documentation addresses this by giving the user complete control over the sync protocol. You aren't forced into a proprietary cloud.
Okay.
Users can set up synchronization using WebDV or integrate directly with a standard Dropbox or Google Drive account.
Let's pause on WebDV for a second, because setting up a WebDV server sounds like a weekend project for a systems administrator, which completely contradicts our mission of keeping this beginner-friendly.
It is absolutely a technical hurdle, you're right. For a true beginner, configuring a personal server is just way too much friction. And that is exactly why the developers included the simple Dropbox integration. You literally click a button, authenticate your existing Dropbox account, and the app uses a hidden folder to quietly pass the encrypted data between your desktop and your laptop. You get the convenience of cloud syncing, but you choose the provider.
The app also allows you to export your entire database at any time using standard formats like JSON or CSV. And just to demystify those acronyms, it essentially means you can export your entire task history into a simple, readable text file or an Excel spreadsheet.
Yeah, you are never locked into the software.
Exactly. If the developer abandons the project tomorrow, your app continues to function and you can take your data anywhere else.
That is the very definition of data ownership. You aren't renting access to your own workload.
But relying on local storage still leaves a physical vulnerability. Like, what happens if I drop my laptop in a lake? How does a beginner safely back the system up without needing a computer science degree?
Well, a purely local system is inherently vulnerable to hardware failure. However, the app does include an automatic, localized backup system by default.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it silently saves snapshots of your data into a specific subfolder within your operating system's user directory. And if you're using the Dropbox sync we just discussed, well, that file is already safely backed up off-site.
So if the laptop goes into the lake,
you simply install the app on a new machine, connect your Dropbox, and your entire workspace is instantly restored.
The legal implications of this architecture are fascinating, especially for independent workers. There's a specific blog post in the sources titled GDPR for Freelancers, Why Your Productivity App Matters. And it argues that most freelancers are unknowingly violating European data protection laws every single day.
It's a massive blind spot. If a freelancer writes a task like, say, follow up with John Doe regarding his medical device contract into a standard cloud-based to-do app, they have just transmitted personal identifiable data to a third-party server.
Which is often located in another country.
Exactly.
You just became a data controller, transferring information without consent. But by keeping client data local first, you completely sidestep that entire legal minefield. The data never leaves your legal jurisdiction because it never leaves the physical silicon of your laptop.
And while you're securely hoarding all this data offline, the software also acknowledges that aesthetics matter, because a tool you stare at for 8 hours a day shouldn't look like a sterile spreadsheet.
Definitely not. And the customization extends all the way to the visual interface. The sources list built-in community themes with names like Dracula, Capuchin Mocha, Cyberpunk, and Nord Polar Night.
Love those names.
Yeah. And if you have basic coding knowledge, you can even load custom CSS files to completely restyle the fonts and colors to match your personal brand, or write custom plugins to invent entirely new features.
It reflects a fundamental philosophy. You know, software should act as a personal tool crafted to fit the individual human rather than just a generic service rented to the masses.
Exactly. Managing the daily chaos of your work life doesn't require handing over your private data or your organization's budget to massive tech conglomerates.
Right.
And bringing this full circle, this is exactly the mission of SafeServer, our supporter for this deep dive. We have spent this time exploring the intense power, privacy, and flexibility of open source, local first software. When organizations, whether they're large businesses, nonprofit associations, or collaborative groups, switch to an open source solution like Super Productivity instead of those expensive proprietary options from Google or Microsoft, they gain two distinct advantages.
First, they immediately recognize massive cost savings by eliminating those recurring enterprise subscription fees.
Yeah.
But more importantly, they establish absolute, undeniable control over where their internal data lives and who has access to it.
And SafeServer really makes that transition painless. They offer dedicated consulting services. So whether you decide that super productivity is the exact right fit for your team's workflow, or you realize through consultation that you need a comparable open source alternative tailored to a totally different industry, SafeServer will help you find it.
They really do.
They'll help you implement it, and they will run it securely on European servers. You can start that conversation right now at safeserver.de.
Because making informed choices about your digital infrastructure is really the very first step toward actual productivity.
Very well said. Before we let you go, I do want to leave you with one final thought to mull over. It's drawn from an insightful blog post mentioned in our sources titled Calendar Blocking versus To-Do Lists.
Oh, that's a great piece.
It really is. Right. We've spent our time today discussing the mechanics of capturing tasks and timing them. But the core revelation from that post is this: pure to-do lists are a fantasy. They completely ignore the reality of time. They allow you to add 50 tasks to a single day, acting as if you have infinite hours. But on the flip side, pure calendar blocking, where you schedule every single minute of your day, is just too fragile.
Because one phone call runs 20 minutes long, and your entire perfectly planned schedule just shatters like glass.
Exactly. You need a bridge between the fantasy of the list and the rigidity of the calendar.
And time boxing your tasks provides that exact bridge.
So look at your own workflow right now. Look at the sticky notes, the browser tabs, and the corporate dashboards constantly demanding your attention. Are you just making endless fantasy lists of things you will realistically never have the time to do? Or are you actively building a system that respects the physical, unyielding limit of the hours you actually have?
That's the real question.
Think about that the next time you open your laptop on a Monday morning and feel that avalanche waiting menu.
Because a truly effective system shouldn't add weight to the avalanche. It should hand you a shovel.
Until next time, keep diving deep.